Welcome to ReChurch. I'm Marshall Fant, the Director of Church Consulting and Strategic Planning for Gospel Fellowship Association Missions. My purpose is to encourage pastors and church leaders as you refocus, renew, and revitalize your churches. We've established this podcast to offer practical tips and suggestions as you equip disciples to make disciples.
Marshall Fant, welcome back to GFA Missions Podcast, ReChurch. So glad to have you joining us by whatever platform you listen or you watch on. That is great. Thank you for tuning in. I also want to thank all the GFA staff for the wonderful job they do of both putting these together and recording and editing and posting. So much work goes on. So a big thank you to the staff that does all that. So as we were winding down one podcast year and launching into another, we went back and just reviewed all the podcasts we've done over the years, and one particular seemed most helpful to our listeners. And today what we want to do is just go back and put together a part of that podcast. The topic of the podcast was Pastor as Preacher. Pastor Mark Minnick was our guest, and about the first 14 minutes of the original podcast dealt with really expository preaching, and what a sermon should be, expository preaching, why it's so important. And so what we want to do now is to repost the 14-minute clip of that. Now, from the original podcast, there's another 7-minute post and about a 4-minute post that we will be continuing posting on YouTube in separate ones. One of those was how to prepare your heart for preaching. And then the 4-minute clip was really a warning if pastors don't slow down. So the walk with God, our walk with God is so important. But for this podcast, I want to focus on Dr. Minnick's great comments on expository preaching so we as pastors, as preachers, can greatly benefit from this repost of a previous podcast. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed as much as we did. One of the first topics to walk through would be, Pastor Minnick, I want you to comment on book studies and expository preaching within book studies, or just that general topic. It's very wide, so Pastor Minnick, you take us down that path.
Yeah, that's good. Well, you know, when it comes to exposition, there's a sense in which every sermon ought to be an exposition of Scripture. There's a great book that is not widely read today, authored by a man named W.G.T. Shedd, and it's entitled Homiletics and Pastoral Theology. And Shedd, in the opening chapter of that book, expresses something philosophically when he says that every sermon should simply be the elongation of the text. I used to try to expound that sentence in preaching classes at the university. It hits you as a sentence that there's something striking about it, but you're not quite sure you understand what he's saying. A sermon ought to be nothing but the elongation of a text. And essentially he's saying that whatever your choice is of amount of Scripture, whether it be a single verse, whether it actually just be a phrase out of a verse or a paragraph, that all your sermon ought to be doing is making use of the rhetorical processes to elongate what that text is saying. So you're explaining it. And of course, the old saying is that one picture is worth a thousand words. Yeah. So in addition to your explanation, you're giving people illustrations.
Right.
And of course, then application. There are three of your rhetorical processes. As soon as you apply things, people have objections. They may have an objection to your explanation. They may doctrinally be wired up differently. So you've got that fourth process of argumentation, where you essentially are making the case for the explanation you gave or the applications that you're making. And you've got that final element that's very challenging for a lot of preachers, particularly if they're more gifted in the area of teaching, and that is exhortation, which is really when you turn, you know, into someone who's really urging people, now is the time that you need to yield to this. And Shed's point is, those other processes, the illustration, application, argumentation, exhortation, they should not be independent content. They ought to be doing nothing but elongating the actual teaching and expansion of that text. So where I'm going with that is, there's a sense in which whether you're preaching topically or textually or expositorily, it all needs to be exposition of Scripture.
Right.
Okay. But if you narrow it to book studies, that has really come, you know, to be, I would say, the widely practiced style today in our circle,
right,
in conservative evangelicalism. When you and I were coming through school, that kind of preaching was probably the minority position. But it is widely practiced today. I wrote an article one time for a magazine about this, and I had an older pastor write me a very kind, respectful letter. But he said, I read what you said very carefully. And he said, I just want to say that I don't find what you're talking about in the preaching in the New Testament. He said, I don't find Christ doing it, and I don't find it in the book of Acts. The apostles are not practicing it. So he was raising the question as to whether book exposition actually ought to be the center of a pastoral type ministry. And I think that's a very fair question and an important one, because anything we do, even when it comes to approaches, methodological approaches in ministry, and particularly the pulpit ministry, we ought to have biblical precedent for it.
Yeah.
There ought to be something in Scripture itself that tips us off, this is the direction to go. So I ended up, you know, giving a fair amount of thought to how I responded to him on that. Now, one thing that I think we have to be clear about is what actually is being recorded in the book of Acts. The book of Acts is clearly a presentation of the fulfillment of that programmatic verse that we have in the first chapter. You shall be witnesses unto me.
Right.
And then there is this geographic expansion of the circles. And that is what you see unfolded in the book of Acts. The early preaching of it in Acts is evangelistic, but it's also apologetic in nature. It's a defense,
right,
that Peter is making. You see the same thing with Stephen. He's making a defense of what he was doing. And of course, then in the ministry of the Apostle Paul, what does this mean? He's a church planter. That preaching is different than having a congregation, a stable congregation,
sure,
that two or three times a week is meeting with the same pastoral voice. And when you do see Paul settled into a place in ministry in the book of Acts, you have it when he settled into Ephesians. He's writing 1 Corinthians while he's at Ephesus.
Right.
You have the record of this in the 19th chapter of Acts, and he refers to being in Ephesus at the end of 1 Corinthians. He's got several years there, and he's writing that book. You've got the same thing again recorded in the 20th chapter of Acts when he's in Corinth at this point. He's there for 3 months. He writes Romans.
Right.
Now it's impossible to think that he's writing a book like Romans to those Christians whom he had never met, and that he's not preaching that same kind of content to the Corinthians, whose church he planted and where he is for an extended moment. In other words, what would the Apostle Paul be doing if he was pastor of my church for 3 years? it's impossible to think that he would not be expounding the books he wrote.
Right.
And we do have to remember that the Holy Spirit chose to breathe out the scriptures in book genre. And those books have a certain character. He didn't breathe out anthologies
right.
of wise quotations. Proverbs is a book like that.
Sure.
But it's essentially the only book like that. He didn't breathe out topical textbooks so that you have a book that's all about marriage. You have another book that is all about evangelism. You have another book that's all about raising your family. Mm-hmm. He scattered this teaching all the way through Scripture, and you could almost say horizontally. And then vertically, that's all pierced by these books. There's a warp and a woof to it. Mm-hmm. And to really expound it, you have to take it up in the form that the Spirit of God gave it. I could keep expanding on this, but there's a very decided position that you come to if you actually let the scriptures themselves give you the information. What were the apostles really doing? Is it what you're doing as a pastor
right.
of a consistent, settled congregation? Answer, no. Unless you're looking at the Apostle Paul settled in.
Right.
And he's writing books. What are you going to do with those books?
All right, so let's follow up with a comment that we had before we started recording. And I think your comment, again, I'd rather you say it than me, would be maybe, you know, this is not what we grew up with, but the some of the things that elements that I'm not saying are missing, but the call for decisions, the call, the would you comment on that of maybe where if we just simply are explaining text without bringing in the challenges and the application and the call for change, would you comment on that just a few minutes?
Well, when you read books on homiletics and they talk about book studies, they will list advantages. Mm-hmm. And it's like everything in life, all strong points have their weak underside. Mm-hmm. And some of the advantages to expository preaching from a pastor's standpoint, for instance, that he doesn't have to search for texts.
Right.
He knows exactly what the next passage is. And the matter of the cohesiveness to a book study from passage after passage, the development of a single major theme for an extended period of time, in some cases sure. over several years in the case of expounding larger books. Okay. Those advantages can actually work against a pastor, a man being before the Lord, sensitive to the direction of the Spirit of God, and really stretched out before the Lord sometimes because what his mind and heart are being turned to really subjectively by the Spirit of God who works within us is often what the Old Testament refers to as the burden of the word of the Lord that descends upon a man when he's aware of a particular need in a congregation. And there is a passage for that. And loading your spirit up with that and really conditioning your spirit to be in keeping with the whole spirit of that passage. There's a tremendous demand on a man spiritually to do that. But when he does and goes into the pulpit, there is a power to the applications of that. There's an insistence on people's responsiveness to it. They're making decisions to it. And let's face it, There are great texts in the Bible that you probably will hardly ever preach if you confine yourself to book studies. Mm. There will be these tremendous texts.
Yeah.
You actually could fail your whole life to preach a text like John 3:16. Mm. Or how often will you ever preach Romans 12:1 and 2? I mean, that's right. A text, let's face it, that
right.
We all need with, you know, some recurrence.
Right.
Isaiah 40 verses 1 and 2, and there are these tremendous passages that call for immediate decision. Mm. So I've always felt that it was important to have topical study going on at the same time.
Amen.
In the same course of ministry.
Sure.
You're listening to ReChurch, a podcast of Gospel Fellowship Association Missions. If you would like more information about our ministry or how we may assist you and your church, visit us at gfamissions.org/consulting.